Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Hello there and good morning. Coming up in today's show, the inspirational story of one Irish doctor who's making a huge difference to the lives of children with cancer in Tanzania. Also today, the super talented Padre Orieda on bringing the music of his community's Cor Coulee to the world. We'll be chatting to one of our finest actors and singers, Maria Doyle Kennedy, on collaborating with the late John Prine and performing in her kitchen. And we'll hear from the hero that is Brother Kevin and find out how his Captain Day Centre here in Dublin is responding to the crisis. Our text number 51551. You can email Miriam at rt.ie. You can find us on Twitter at Miriam O'Cal. Well, first up this morning, at a time when many Irish people have come home from abroad, given the ongoing coronavirus crisis, one Irish woman who is a doctor in Tanzania in Africa has stayed there to keep looking after her patients, who are all children with cancer. Dr. Trish Scanlon has already won many plaudits for her work with children with cancer and with the charity she set up, Their Lives Matter. To deal with the ongoing crisis, Dr. Trish and her hospital have been in early lockdown. And Dr. Trish now joins me from Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Good morning, Dr. Trish.
Good morning, Miriam. And thanks very much for including me what sounds like a great show this morning.
Oh, absolutely. It's a privilege to chat to you, Dr. Trish. Listen, tell me first of all my listeners will be wondering, how did you end up as a young doctor in Tanzania?
Well, I usually use one word, which is Google. Basically, I was training in Ireland and I was doing a master's in international health, and I needed somewhere to do my data collection and my thesis. So I found a link with a hospital, the cancer hospital in Dar es Salaam, and I went there, and the staff and the parents and the children were incredible, but they had almost no resources. And I kind of felt I had the types of skills that they needed to move things forward. So when I finished my training in Ireland, I moved immediately back to Dar.
And I mean, I think, you trained in Crumlin Children's Hospital here in Dublin, I think. Is that right, Trish?
Yeah, as with all doctors, you kind of bounce around the country a good bit. But yeah, the majority of my training was in Crumlin, yes.
Which, of course, in itself is an amazing hospital. The hospital you now work in, Trish, tell us about it. And when you first went there, I mean, it's not too much to say that you've made a huge difference to the kind of survival rates for these children with cancer out there.
Yeah, and you're right in saying, like, Crumlin is an incredible hospital, and the training I got there stood me so well to go to Dar es Salaam. And you know, people sort of say things like that about me, but what I like to say is, you know, if you think of it as the children being the pearl, children being cured being the pearl of the whole organization and the whole effort, and all the staff and all the supporters and donors and everything being, you know, the oyster and everything around it. Well, in order to get all of that done, you need an annoying grain of sand. So that's what I am.
What were the big issues out there, Trish? Why was the mortality rate so high for children?
Well, it was everything, really. I mean, Tanzania is a poor country. It's a vast country. There was only one hospital that was looking after children with cancer in the whole country. And you could travel, you know, 4 or 5 days between buses and boats and walking. And, you know, if you did that when you were well, imagine doing that with a sick child by your side and how difficult that would be. So access to care was one. And then the other is, once you got to the hospital, back at the very beginning, it really was a poorly resourced hospital. There were drugs for one condition, which was the most common condition, named after an Irishman, incidentally, Burkitt's lymphoma, after Dennis Burkitt, because it was the most common children's cancer. But all the other conditions, if you didn't have the money to pay for the drugs, then you were given a prescription and told to come back when you did. And so you can imagine, you know, most people in Tanzania live hand to mouth and don't have very much money. And even $50 or $100, because cancer care in children is not particularly expensive until you get into the kind of high-tech stuff. But even the low-tech stuff, which works very well for the majority, is out of reach of most Tanzanian families. And so that was mainly the problem.
But you managed to make a huge difference. I mean, I was looking back at some of the awards you've got in Ireland for your work, and they've all said, I mean, at some stages, I think, Trish, there was a 60% mortality rate for children with cancers. You've brought that right down. How did you do that?
Well, so one of the ways I did it was basically not worrying about money. You know, so our model would probably make people have heart attacks. So after about 3 months of watching this happening, where people were given prescriptions and told to go, I just basically announced on the ward one day that chemo was now free for every child. I didn't have any money to pay for it, but I was lucky in that all of the pharmacies around the city, they all stocked chemo. So we were able to order it from like many, many pharmacies without them understanding that I'd racked up a bill of $50,000 with literally no way of paying for it. But what happened was, you see, then the children started getting better. And we would regularly get visitors through the ward, kind of just, you know, it's one of those places that people come to see what they can do to help. And they saw that the energy had changed and that, you know, the dynamic had changed. And so they asked how they could help. And right at the very, very beginning, I have to say, the Irish Embassy were hugely supportive. And they were one of the first that that helped us pay off that big bill. There was another group of people with a parish actually in the UK that helped us, but they were linked to Irish priests who were also in Tanzania. So there was amazing Irish connection from the very beginning of how we managed to do that. So that's the thing. We know how to cure these kids. Give them the drugs and they will get better. So that was kind of just my thought. I'm going to give them the drugs, they're going to get better, and I'll figure out how to pay for it afterwards.
I was reading the one moment you spoke about, Trish, where I know it's obviously just an example of one child you were treating, but that the little child seems so terribly sick. And then I think with just one amount of chemo given, this child, the next time you saw him or her, she was literally running around. It can make such a difference.
Yeah, I mean, in the early days, I would have these children who would come in, and because I wasn't used to this happening, you know, I'd come back the next day and the child had been desperately ill in the bed, you know, struggling to breathe, with a huge big belly, and, you know, it's kind of relieving going, gosh. And the following day you'd come in and the bed would be empty and you'd just look at the nurse and go, I didn't call him last night. I could have come back. Mm. And they would look at me kind of puzzled going, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, where's Rashidi? And what happened to him last night? And they're like, he's outside. The drugs do actually work that quickly for some of the cancers, particularly, as I say, this one that I mentioned, Burkitt lymphoma, it doubles every 12 to 24 hours and it shrinks as quickly as you give them the drugs. That's the beauty of it. It's just we have to get the kids in and we have to treat them.
How are you dealing right now, Trish, with COVID-19? I know you have made the decision, courageous decision, to stay there, but have you gone into lockdown, as I said earlier, in your hospital?
So I was very lucky. Again, being Irish, being European, I have friends, obviously lots of colleagues in Ireland and lots of friends in Italy and friends in Germany. And so I was kind of very able to not just hear, but to feel the sense of fear that was happening in Europe like 5 weeks ago. So we have divided the oncology team into two teams that don't talk to each other. They're completely separate. They work separately so that if one team goes down, you know, if they can't come to work, we still have another team that can then cover the whole service.
Trish, if someone's listening to you now and wants to help your charity that you set up, Their Lives Matter, how do they do that?
So there are two ways. One is either go to our website, which is wearetlm.org, and there's very easy ways. You can just see the donate sites on that. The other way is if people would consider a €4 donation, they can actually text now, and it's 50300, and they text TLM, which is Their Lives Matter, TLM, to 50300.
Well, look, Trish Scanlon, you're an inspiring story. Congrats on all your amazing work. Keep it up and stay safe.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who's listening, because actually most of the support we get is from Ireland. So it's really, I'm so proud to be Irish and to have such amazing people doing all they're doing for each other and for others.
And you too, Trish. Congrats on all your great work. Take care.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of lovely reaction there to Dr. Trish. One of our listeners says, Anne-Marie Hay says, Miriam, I've worked in Tanzania with Trish and she is the most inspirational person I've ever met by a yard mile. It's also her birthday today. So come on, Ireland, let's help her. She's so incredible. Actually, lots of people have texted in to say it's Trish Scanlon's birthday today. So Trish, happy birthday to you. Well, look, Maria Doyle Kennedy is, of course, one of our finest singers and actors, from The Commitments to more recently Outlander, The Tudors, Downton Abbey, and a new album, of course, was released this year. And now every Friday night, she and her husband are performing live from their kitchen. They were very good friends of John Prine, who, of course, died last week. And in a while, we'll chat about their friendship and their collaborations. Morning, Maria. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, Miriam. How are you?
How is lockdown going for you?
Well, it's going. I suppose, you know, like most people, sort of one foot in front of the other, kind of. I mean, I feel very grateful that all my family are well. We're all healthy. And, you know, I'm part of a loving house and we have enough food and we have the internet. So, you know, it's good. I try and make a plan for every day. Sometimes I achieve it, sometimes I don't. I try and not beat myself up too much about that. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, everyone's well, so we're moving on.
I'm interested in that. Did you make a plan? Like, do you write a list or do you wake up in the morning or is it when you're going to sleep the night before you say, this is what I'll try and do tomorrow?
Yeah, I do it the day before. I just try and as I'm going to the day, I think of a couple of things that maybe could fit in the next day. So I put them down on a list. So I feel sort of, I suppose I feel kind of purposeful when I wake up and try and have some kind of some plan and some structure for the boys. You know, I think it's hard on them. And it's funny, I heard Colin McInerney speak on the show last week, and he said, he called it a collective vulnerability. And I thought that was a really good way to describe what's going on. It's very surreal in many ways.
Yeah.
And it does make you feel kind of, the most ordinary of things makes you feel sort of vulnerable or tearful. But then also you see really lovely kindnesses and people coming together and things like that. And so that's all good stuff as well. It's a strange time.
And it's nice, like many artists, Maria, you and your husband, Kieran, you're doing kitchen concerts.
Yeah.
Tell us about them.
Well, we just, I guess we had been in sort of quarantine for just over a week and we said, well, we should play some songs for people. I mean, that's the one thing music can do. You know, it can offer some solace or even just some distraction. And we love to play. So we said, well, let's just try it from the kitchen and just put it on Instagram. And so we did. And then we had an enormous response for it. And we realized that people really want to find ways to sit down and gather together. So we've done five now. We do it every Friday at 8 o'clock, and the loveliest of messages, and thousands of people are watching, and they meet each other. People phone each other on Zoom or FaceTime, and then they separately watch the gig, but they also feel that they're together and also with us. It's lovely. And it's also, we didn't want to make any money from them, and we didn't even want to be fundraising this time. We just felt so many people have, you know, everything has gone to zero for them kind of overnight. So we just wanted people to be able to come and not be asked for anything, but just come and have the tunes if they want them and hang out.
And you have that wonderful musical gift, Maria, but do you think music is a good way maybe to try and help people get through these times, which for many people, I suppose, are quite anxious times?
I think that's it. I think that people are very anxious. They don't know really what's coming. So just to hang on and not panic, I think is what I'm trying to do anyway. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel music gives me the ability to do that. It gives me energy and it gives me comfort, and it also just makes me feel connected to something that's bigger than me. I do feel music will mind us.
Now, you were a good friend and you collaborated with John Prine, weren't you, Maria?
Yeah, that's been the one. It was a hard week last week, I must say. It was a personal loss. John Prine, what an incredible individual. He's really like a ball of grace on legs. He was such a lovely person. We were writing a song, I think 2011 it was, and we had written it, we were singing it, we were playing it, and I suddenly heard John Prine's voice singing in my head. And I was entirely sober at the time. But I found a way to send him the song. And then he called me one day and he said, I love that song. I would like to record it with you. And at the time, I mean, he didn't know this, but I was kind of in a difficult place at the time. I was really just kind of struggling to create, to make music, to get it to people, to earn a living, all of those things. And this sort of recognition or kindness from him was the most extraordinary present and encouragement at the time. Not that he knew that, he just rang and said, I like the song. But also, he's not really known for recording other people's songs because he writes such extraordinary ones himself. So I really don't know how that happened or what kind of moved him to do it. But I was so extraordinarily grateful. And the experience of recording it with him, we recorded with him in his home in Kinvara, which he and Fiona would come over to during the year a few times. And we traveled over there, recorded with him. And he's just so, so gracious and so lovely. It was a brilliant experience. And then we met several times after that. We went to visit them and Maura O'Connell, who was their great friend as well, in Nashville a few years ago. Mm. And I just feel so, so much for all the things he won't get to make now. But I'm so grateful to have all the songs that he did leave us. And I hope at some stage they'll be the biggest comfort to Fiona and the boys.
We're going to listen now, actually, to the song that he recorded with you, your song, Maria. Yes, we will. We'll listen to it now.
Okay. Once long ago, when we were even more clueless, you understood what I've said.
Everybody else there was rolling their eyes skyward. You just nodded your head.
And where we go, now we're here.
That's your beautiful song you wrote with your husband, Kieran. Yes, we will, with John Prine. It's a beautiful song, actually. Do you write a lot of songs together, you and Kieran?
Yes, we do. We write all of them together, really, in different ways sometimes, but that was just came out of the air, that song. I don't know. It seems so poignant to listen to it now, especially without John. But and it's a song about lasting, you know, about surviving, about getting through and holding on. And yeah.
No, it's really beautiful. It's a lovely memory for you to have, though, forever, Maria.
I'll be so incredibly grateful to him. For that, just that, yeah, that bolt of encouragement and kindness at a time when it was so needed. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have, yeah, and recording, and it's, yeah.
Well, look, Maria, some of our listeners want to know, how can they watch your live concerts? Can you give them the details? What do they do to watch you and Kieran Friday night at 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. They just go onto Instagram and find me, Maria Doyle Kennedy. It's just my name on Instagram. And then if you'll see that on the little picture of my head, there'll be a button saying live at 8 o'clock. And you just click on my head and there we are in the kitchen playing the tunes. Come along. You're all very welcome.
Well, look, Maria, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Love to yourself and Kieran. Stay safe. We're going to go out listening to this interview to another John Prine song, one of his most famous songs, I suppose. Hello in There, maybe dedicated this morning to anyone who's on their own or even not on their own, who's a bit lonely. And also, before we play it, just to say a lot of people are looking for the text number for Dr. Trish, saying how wonderful she is. It's text TLM, Their Lives Matter, to 50300. That's TLM to 50300. Let's listen to the great John Prine.
apartment in the city. Me and Loretta like living there. Well, it's been years since the kids had grown a life of their own and left us alone.
And Maria Doyle Kennedy asked me to dedicate that song of her friend John Prine to her mum this morning, Pauline Doyle in Boyle and Roscommon, because obviously she can't go to see her. And let's dedicate it to everyone who's on their own this morning. Stay strong, stay safe. These times will pass. We'll take a break.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Lots of lovely reaction to Maria Doyle Kennedy's song there, Yes We Will, which she wrote with her husband Kieran, of course, but John Prine was on it. It's called Yes We Will, for those asking. It's Frank in Port Arlington says, that's a fabulous song for these days. We'll move on. Good morning, Padraig O'Riordan.
Good morning to you too, Miriam.
It's a privilege to have you there. How is beautiful Coole, where you live this morning?
Oh, it's kind of damp this morning. But I was brightened by listening to Maria there. I was always a fan of hers. She's a great singer and a great actress. So, and also Dr. Trish, whose birthday it is today, and I was, you know, thinking of a lot of people whose birthdays are at the moment. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. How are you dealing with, I don't know, isolation, staying at home?
Well, we're living in historical times. We, like, generations would look back in this. We've known that something like this would happen for a while because the world has become very small and interconnection has been going on for quite a while now. So we knew that a virus of some kind would come and catch us. Mm. And it's kind of strange to watch these kind of predictions coming true and to be frightened by it without pretending that we are. You know, we're not letting on that we're trying to pretend everything is normal, which it isn't. So we're getting on well. We're just adapting. It's wonderful how people adapt to things. They're getting used to being at home and they're discovering each other again, which is wonderful. Our house is full. All the family's at home. So they're playing cards at night instead of watching television, which is kind of a new thing. People are getting to know each other and the place is quiet. So you can hear nature. You can smell things again. The smell of diesel suddenly interrupts everything when a strange tractor or van buzzes down the road. So it's kind of different, but it's surreal. It's wonderful that we're so close and empathetic with each other, but then in the background realize that people are dying. So it's a strange kind of weird time.
You, of course, Pather, run that beautiful choir, Cor Coole. You've had to adapt it, but you're still doing it in the local church. Tell us how you adapt. As you say, everyone's adapting.
Well, I suppose spirituality is a very important third of our life. Creativity is another third, and physical reality is another third, as far as I see it anyway. And suddenly, well, we kind of felt this coming on, I suppose. So our father, Donal O'Brien, had already installed the sanitizers in the church before they were kind of regular everywhere else, and we were kind of half ready for it. So we pared the crew down to a skeleton crew, informed the guards about what we were doing, persuaded the doctor to attend with us at every time, locked the church, and we've been streaming, and both streaming and broadcasting and writing the text as well, all the services for Easter, because it's an important element for a whole lot of people. You'd be surprised how many old lads up the sides of hills and mountains have discovered technology all of a sudden. It's kind of wonderful, you know. But and it's not all young people. And a strange thing has happened, that families are kind of getting connected from all over the world through that. You know, that we stream on Facebook on the Cor Coole site, and they put in comments and they say, we're here from New Zealand, or we're here from wherever, Switzerland or it is, and their relations then can see that they're there. And it's an important thing too. There's people that are ill, you know. Mm. Some of them even terminally ill, and they've been saying that it was very important to them. So,
well, that's interesting. I was saying that to Maria earlier, Pat, you know, the importance of music at times like this. I mean, you have it throughout your DNA with your dad, Sean O'Riordan. I mean, is music a great comfort even to you yourself?
Yeah, that's the thing that I was kind of thinking about and talking to a friend of mine the other day. it's easy for us musicians and creative people in a way, because we can retreat into that inner part of ourselves, away from the reality, and find a new reality, a new realm, a space to fly, if you like, and then we can come back out again. We can express things that people without this gift can do. We often say, any musician I ever meet always says, aren't we so lucky to be musicians? Because it's got this kind of safety valve. So there's, along with that gift, is a kind of responsibility to use it too.
We're going to listen to a couple of pieces, but your piece, Cardus, and I know you want to dedicate this, I think, to your daughter. It's a beautiful piece of you playing it as well, and you composed it.
Well, friendship is like a warm blanket, and when you lose it, then, or when somebody dies, for example, or somebody's gone away, you're kind of looking for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're, so that's the way. That was the emotion behind the music. So, my daughter, who's getting ready to rotate out to the Lebanon in the army, she's a lieutenant in the army, and her birthday's on Tuesday. As is another foxy friend of mine who'll be 50 on Tuesday, and I had another friend, a bit of a poet, who had a birthday last Saturday. I won't say his age, old enough to be cocooning anyway. And Dr. Trish, of course, who the wonderful person, like all those wonderful missionaries all over the world from Ireland, because that's what they are, whether they're working in spirituality or in health giving or in education or whatever they're doing. So it's this idea of warm friendship and love, and sometimes you're missing them, you know. That's what the piece is kind of supposed to reflect.
Beautiful. Let's listen to it now. It's your piece. Your beautiful piece of music, Cardus, there, Pather, written, of course, by you and played by you. You're very wise. I interviewed you recently, a couple of months back, with your great friend Sean O'Shea, the great singer, and I learned a lot of things that day from you both. For anyone listening who's maybe a bit perturbed by these times, give them a bit of advice, Pather. How do you cope with what's going on? Give me some of your wisdom.
I don't know about my wisdom. You'd have to sit down to reach some of it. But Sean is at the moment cocooning busily because he's travelling through his 80s. And if you saw me have a Mahertig last night, the boat tomorrow, chip off the same block, really. Sean closed his front gate and he has the length of 2 cars from that to the garage. He opened the garage and he has the length of 3 cars from the back wall of the garage to the gate. And he spends an hour walking in and out every day. And while he's doing that, because it's so boring, he rings all his friends to shorten the time. So there's one little trick you can do if you're walking around the dining room table to try and get your exercise, because that's really important, particularly if you're older. You could ring people at the same time if you have a mobile phone. And that's one thing, shorten the time. But exercise is really important. And the other thing is, use the bloody phone. Use the phone, talk to people. You can get into a routine where you sit down in front of television and stay there and vegetate for days on end, and that's not good for the circulation. So start cooking, do anything at all, paint, play music. It's a great time to start learning an instrument. I have lots of tunes up there on the old website of my own. If they're looking for something new to try and learn, you know, learn a tune a day. Take up an instrument. If you have an old instrument left in the house, now is the time to do it. You're not going to go anywhere for the next couple of weeks anyway. And the other thing is just to remember that it will be over. And while some of us will not be there when it's finished, most of us will. And life is not, well, as we said before, it's not a return trip. But also it's not the ultimate thing. To be alive is a privilege, but also it's a continuation. I'm a firm believer. I remember meeting a whole lot of surgeons. A friend of mine, a great surgeon in Cork, came back to Ireland, and he has this convention every year of top surgeons around the world. And I remember being very struck. He invited me in to play for a few of them those years in UCC. And I remember being struck and talking to these top surgeons from strong Kettering from all these places all over the world, that they all believed that life was not just finished when you die, because they'd seen so many things in the course of their work that they were convinced otherwise. So we just have to live while we can, as Katie Buckley said. And when we can't, and not to worry about that part, where it's not our responsibility in a way. We just have to do as best we can now, in the know.
And look, good advice there. You're heading off now to look after your choir, Cor Coulee, but we're going to play a song. Tell me the one you've chosen for us this morning, Father.
Well, it's a poem by my friend Don O'Lehan, who is no longer with us, which says, "A ship I am with no port in front of me, a book I am, and in a language written in the skies that will understand me." It goes on about what am I, where am I going. It's kind of appropriate for these days. And we're going to the church in Coulee now, where we'll be streaming live at 11 o'clock on the Facebook Cor Coulee site. You'll find it easily enough, which we do constantly. And if people wanted to light a candle for them or anything like that, they could always contact us there and we'd do it for them. But anyway, that's where we're going, and that's what we'll be doing for the next half an hour.
Buíochas, Pádraig. YouTube, and what the name of the song, Pádraig?
Imlung Mé Masam.
Buíochas. Mind yourself as well, Pádraig, and thanks as ever for chatting to me. And just so you know, Sean O'Shea is going to be singing at the end of today's show. You'll find out why in a little while. A request to Brother Kevin. So we'll listen now to that beautiful song. Beautiful Cor Coulee there. Thanks so much to Padre Rita, and good morning, Brother Kevin.
Good morning, Miriam. How are you?
Most importantly, how are you doing?
Still alive. Still going strong.
Great. One of our living saints is still around.
I wish.
Yeah. How are you finding it being stuck? Are you staying in? Obviously you are.
So yeah, I'm staying in my room and I'm working from my room and being in contact with the centre every day. And what we're doing in the centre every morning, we're giving out a breakfast to about 200 families. That's a takeaway. And then in the afternoon, we're giving out takeaway dinners as well. And all during the week, we had about 700 for those. And yesterday, for some unknown reason, we had 800 for dinners, which was huge. But I suppose our main concern, really, Miriam, that nobody should go hungry. And then a lot of these people are people who are finding it very difficult and maybe who have lost their jobs. But we seem to have quite a number of new clients coming. And that's one of our reasons why we are opened. And but the centre itself is not open. But as I said, we're giving takeaways. And then on Monday mornings, we're giving out baby food and baby nappies. And we have about 210 families for those. But as well as that, in the Garda from the Bridewell, are taking some baby food and baby nappies to families. And then we have a courier who is also taking baby food and baby nappies to people who cannot come to the centre. So it's gone very, very well so far, so good. And we have a wonderful staff, of course, that are absolutely fantastic. And as well as that, of course, our volunteers as well. And without our excellent staff, certainly, we would not be able to do what we are doing. And as well as that, again, of course, our doctor and nurses, they're there to give a full attention to any medical services that are required.
Isn't that wonderful, though, that your centre, the Capuchin Centre, for anyone listening who doesn't know that you set up all those decades ago, that it's adapted so well, Brother Kevin, that it's still looking after all these people, albeit in a takeaway most of the time. That's extraordinary.
Well, again, of course, without the help of our great benefactors, under no circumstances would we be able to do what we are doing. And this morning I take this opportunity to thank each and every one of those people who are so great and so kind to the Capuchin Day Centre. And so many people who are giving their service, which are absolutely brilliant, and people who are coming to help. We have no problem with volunteers. And again, as I have already said, with our staff are absolutely brilliant. They're there early morning until the afternoon, giving service to the people in need and their concern, I suppose, for the people in need. And as well as that, our superior Father Terence Harrington, when all this came about, he said the church is available for them to go to the church and eat in the church. And that's, again, dignity and respect that's been shown to those people. And they respect the church with great dignity, and we have people there constantly cleaning the place, and the place is perfectly clean after those people every day.
And you always tell me, Brother Kevin, that, you know, when you started decades ago, there was the need, obviously, to look after people, but you hoped it would get better. But if anything, the situation is worse than ever. Is that right?
Yes, certainly is. I mean, it's really, we never had the numbers like we're having now. And certainly it's really, really, really very serious. And I suppose our biggest fear at the moment with what's happening at the moment is if the numbers will get bigger and bigger. But please God, again, with the generosity of the people, I have no doubt that they will come to our aid and they will be there to help us, for us, for helping the people who are greatly in need. And I suppose being followers of St. Francis, I have no doubt that Francis is there pushing us on and telling us, you know, to get off our backsides and get up and do something, and to do something positive for the people who are really in need.
And like Dr. Trish, this doctor I spoke to at the beginning of my show, she's dedicated her life to looking after children with cancer in Tanzania. You have dedicated your entire life, Brother Kevin, to looking after other people.
Well, God has been very good to me, and I suppose I've got the grace and the strength to do it. And I hope and please God that I will be able to continue for many more years, even though I'm at an age now that maybe I should be lying in my bed taking it easy. But I hope to continue and do the work of what St. Francis would want us to do as long as I can for the people in need.
And as you said earlier, Brother Kevin, you never want to talk about donations, but it really matters to you, doesn't it, when people help you?
Well, certainly, without the generosity of the people, under no circumstances, we'd be able to continue our work. And I'm not begging for donations this morning, in no way, but my concern this morning is for the dignity and the respect that would be shown to each individual homeless person and the person in need coming to our centre. And when the Holy Father, the Pope, came here over a year ago, one of the things he said was dignity and respect to every human being and to every person. And that's what our staff and our nurses and doctors and everybody who are doing here for the homeless people and the people in need who are availing our services.
All headed up by you. They are wonderful people, but you are their figure at the top. I always love talking to you, Brother Kevin. Thank you so much. Stay well, stay safe. And listen, you're a Cork man, so we're going to go out listening just to one verse, probably for time reasons, sung by Sean O'Shea of the Banks of My Own Lovely Liam. We dedicate it to you, Brother Kevin. Stay strong. My thanks and sound today to Andrew Kane, to Shannon Gorman, who produced. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll chat to you at the same time next week. Slán.
Fancy take flight to the home of my childhood away, to the days when each patriot's vision seemed bright, ere I dreamed that those joys would decay.